Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. Today is a special meeting to review KPFT. We are joined by KPFT's General Manager, Dwayne Bradley, and Business Manager, Markeisha Van Zandt. I'm going to ask our Secretary, Arpal Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Sam Agarwal. Present. Fred Blair.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov.
Present.
Joseph Davis.
Present.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Eileen Rosin. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We're on to agenda review and approval. I sent out a proposed agenda last night. It follows the same format as when we did this special meeting for KPFA. It is 10 minutes of presentation by the KPFT General Manager and Business Manager, 20 minutes for questions, then 20 minutes for discussion and any action items committee members may wish to propose, with a fixed adjournment time 1 hour from now. May I get a motion to approve that agenda?
So moved.
Kasanov moves approval of the agenda. Is there any, does anyone wish to propose an amendment?
Adriana,
go ahead.
Yes, I think that the motion from you that we receive already, or we are going directly that in the PMB, the modification of the Pacifica National Office budget to reflect the change, I mean, adding the salary of the NES.
You want to take that up at this meeting?
Well, I'm thinking if it's any need, and then we'll be presented by the National Finance. I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking.
Okay. I submitted it as an individual to the Pacifica National Board because it's a... Yeah, I'm not sure that having it sent by the committee would get it taken up by the board any faster, if that's your question. But if you want to propose taking that up tonight because it is a special meeting, it would take a two-thirds vote to add that to the agenda. And I would ask that we do it after KPFT so that we don't keep our staff on the phone any longer than they have to be.
Yes, I agree with that. We cannot put it if we don't need, like you said, maybe we can do it directly to the PMB. And the second thing that I want to add, I don't know if we can talk a few minutes about, I was looking at the budget that we approved, and I found some discrepancy with the LESs salaries. The one that we already approved, and I didn't see it before. I don't know if we can talk here briefly about that at the end.
Yeah, again, it's a special meeting, so take a supermajority to add anything that's not KPFT to the budget. You can propose it. My recommendation would be we take it up at our next regular meeting.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else wish to propose an amendment?
Well, I'm sorry, Brian, I have a doubt. We have a deadline because the PMB already approved those budgets, and I think that being tomorrow that we need to modify anyway the national office budget, maybe it would be a good idea if we just spend, I don't know, 10 minutes looking at that at the end of this meeting.
Okay, if you want to put it in amendment form, please go ahead.
Yes, just to add at the end of the KPFT I cannot find the word. If we can put at the end of our agenda 10 minutes to review the line of the LESs and all the approved budgets.
Okay. The proposal is for a 10-minute item following KPFT to review local election supervisor expenses in all approved budgets.
Perfect.
question.
Is there any objection to that motion? Yes, Serene?
Question. Is it restricted to, what, can we broaden it to just election expenses?
Sure.
That's my motion then.
Yes.
Adriana, is it okay if we just call it election expenses?
Perfect.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that'll go on the agenda at 8:30 Central after KPFT. Any further amendments? Hearing no amendments, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved. We're on to the KPFT presentation, and we'll start with Dwayne Bradley and Markeisha. You've got 10 minutes to lay out what you want to lay out, and the idea of these meetings is we're looking for best practices and lessons learned that might help other stations, as well as a overall state of affairs. So go for it, guys.
Okay. Well, thanks, and I appreciate the time-certain nature of this, being as both Markeisha and I have major responsibilities, and our spring drive starts at dawn tomorrow, and I'll be pitching live at 7 a.m., so I am going to try and focus on this. I think that best practices are something we've attempted to model at KPFT during my entire tenure, and Markeisha has served as business manager there for just under a year less than I've been the GM, so since late of 2002. So I think there's a lot of experience on both sides here. She, of course, on the finance side of the equation, but I think that giving a quick snapshot of KPFT, we run a fairly lean machine. We have taken, I think, the brunt of the cutbacks due to our hopefully temporary loss of CPB funding and adapted to it and kind of rolled with that essentially 15% punch to the gut financially for the past 3 years. Hopefully the network will, stabilize itself to the point of allowing us to receive these funds once again in the not-too-distant future. There's nothing we in Houston can really do to effect that. That's kind of an external issue. We certainly support Sam and the auditors in all of their hard work trying to get us to a good place in terms of that. What we've been doing is trying to take into account, the real nature of the radio universe and its changing demographics, its changing usage patterns, and trying to begin to build a KPFT for the future in terms of looking at maximizing our connections to the community through our expansion of our HD service, beginning podcasting opportunities, and looking into formalized community partnerships as a potential source of revenue over time, in addition to leasing out one of our HD channels as a possibility of effecting some off-air income. And also, just in recent times, what we've done, we put on a number of community events. We had Amy Goodman here this past Sunday. We had a very effective community event with her, both a VIP event and a public event, and netted out about $6,500 to KPFT in a 3-hour pass-through visit from Amy. But the bottom line is that with as small a staff as KPFT has, dedicating staff time to events short of having heavy involvement by board members and volunteer staff, the bang for the buck, so to speak, sometimes is minimal. We've modeled with one of our board members a fairly effective music festival last year where he solicited sponsorships, so all of the upfront costs were covered and everything that ensued was just a benefit to KPFT, so that even though it was partially rained out, KPFT still made a couple thousand dollars. That's a model we're looking at toward the future, because we're not, you know, we don't have venture capital and we can't like get into the concert promotion business the people would like us to. So community events is I think a growth potential area for KPFT. So too is lease income. And also, while Sam was in town here in the past, I don't know, he was here last Monday and Tuesday, and we were effective in utilizing his time here to do some restructuring on the staff side of the way the operations are run at KPFT, both in order to affect positive outcomes vis-a-vis the letter from the auditors in terms of the management letter that they've been issuing for the past several years that's got a lot of recurring themes in it, and also just to effect changes in the business operations upstairs at KPFT that will have a net effect of utilizing the business manager in different ways and taking better advantage of some of her expertise with finance, but also simultaneously freeing the development director up to more actively pursue grant opportunities, which is an area KPFT has, I would say, fallen short in just due to, you know, the reality of what we have going on down here. I think that's just a kind of a quick snapshot. Marquise, would you like to, I don't know, add anything to what I've just said?
No, I think you covered it all. I guess I was basically going to ask, when we got to the numbers, if there what did I need to explain specifically? I don't want to explain something if it doesn't need to be explained. But no, you've done a good job of explaining where we're going and where we've come from.
Okay. So then what we do next is I'll take a stack. We have a 20-minute time limit on questions, and this is questions only. We'll have time for discussion after questions. We just want to make sure we get as much information on the table as possible before that happens. So I'll open the stack now.
Barbara.
I've got Adriana. Barbara.
Adriana.
I've got Adriana.
Michael.
Who else?
Michael Novick.
Michael, who else?
R. Paul,
who else? Okay, my stack is Barbara, Adriana, Michael, and then R. Paul. Go ahead, Barbara.
I have two questions really quick. Could you say something, or somebody say something, about the HD services? Is that one of these renting out a side channel? I know we have AM, FM. You know, is HD another name for a different frequency or something? That's one question.
Okay.
And the other one, when you mentioned development director, do you have one, or are you talking about the one that Sam has proposed, that we have a national development director, that we need to hire such a person? Those are my two questions.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Barbara. The HD is actually built into FM. We have a new transmitter. We used some Commerce Department grant money when we were going through an opportunity to upgrade our signal to its full 100,000-watt license. We leveraged the government money to simultaneously upgrade to HD digital capacity on top of moving up in total wattage of our output. So it is the FM signal as compared to like the SCA money, where we lease out a subcarrier, which is kind of like the edge of our signal, and you have to have a special receiver to get it.
Right.
HD is the newfangled FM that a lot of people have built into newer cars and might not even know they have it, where it's basically in-band, on-channel broadcasting. So 90.1 in Houston right now has the potential of three simultaneous signals. Old analog or regular FM receivers will just pick up the main 90.1, which is also HD channel 1. But if you have the HD receivers, you can pick that up on channels 2 or channel 3. We had a lease with Rice University for one of those channels. That subsequently has been terminated last summer. So we're negotiating right now to possibly lease one of the channels, but we've enjoyed expanding to our community service, our HD service, and bringing in more people from the community. A lot of diversity is happening on our HD channel. Some people think of it as kind of the minor leagues, but it is full FM broadcasting. It's just that not everybody has the newer receivers to pick it up. So HD is a really interesting opportunity. It hasn't grown as quickly or as proliferated quite as far as we had hoped when we bought into it, but we did buy into it with largely government grant money that we obtained back early in my tenure here. The development director I'm talking about has been a staff member at KPFT. Robin Lewis has been here since, I think 2005. She became development director. The development director at KPFT has largely served as the creator of our fund drives, the head of the membership department. So we have a membership coordinator full-time working under a development director, and then a part-time membership assistant. Those three people basically are the entire, what in the outer world would be called the customer service department. So the development director is really busy helping coordinate events, dealing with the MEMS system, dealing with data entry, dealing with planning fund drives, and every once in a while getting to maybe work with me on a grant or something. Mm-hmm. But that's a person that's been on staff. We've had one since I got here.
Thank you.
Quick clarification on that, Dwayne. The HD rental money, that lands on your interest other income line? Or I guess it's to you, Markeisha.
Yes, it does. Other income.
What's your projected annual income under the new leases?
Well, we're in the process of negotiating numbers with our prime possible tenant right now. I don't know that talking contract terms is probably a great idea. I mean, I ballparked a number, fairly low number, in those sheets that were handed out by Sam, where we had brief descriptions of major initiatives.
Okay. I'll refer to those. Thank you. Adriana, you're next.
Yes. Thank you first, Dwayne and Markeisha, for being here. I will obviously make all my questions all together and you decide to answer the way that you want. I can see clearly that we have a shortfall of $91,000 and the expenses are reduced is only $24,000. That is basically $8,600 in programming expenses, cutting a fee from NFCB conference and paying only half of the satellite fee. And development expenses is reducing $7,244. When the reductions, obviously the major part is $8,000 in premiums and other vendors reduction. I see that the personal cost is only what is salaries is only reduced $3,000, and the subsequent $4,000 in healthcare benefit change because change of one employee. And I think that the rest is kind of a miscalculation of payroll taxes and SUI taxes. I remember questioning some of those numbers when we were discussing the budget. I see the expected increase of $6,000, almost 50%, in community special event costs. I remember questioning those numbers too. I saw in the presentation in the documents that in the major initiative, I would not mention names, you have a specific situation that should be called a sideband or something like that. Who is negotiating that contract? I want to know. And we were told that the info from KPFT from the 2014 audit was completed. But last Monday during the audit committee was mentioning that there were some open items from KPFT, some discrepancies with some expenditures. Could you update us on the solution of that? And the last one is, I see the cash flow tab that is lacking the $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year, that was in the original line 40 of the approved FY 2014 budget, cash flow tab. And I see there that is not included the 1141 and 1500, that means 2641 plus 2,046.41 a month, $23,000 a year in the next 5 months. That is not reflected in the cash flow, and that had to do with the proviso mandate but when we approved the 2016 budget. I want to know, it says your fall is $91,000 and the reduction is only 24. How you plan, what measures I mean take to compensate for the $60,000 difference? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Adriana. Let me take part of this, and then some of the numbers, they're kind of going past me kind of quick, and I'm counting on Markeisha to decode those. But the first thing you mentioned that I caught was related to discrepancies in expenditures, and one of the larger ones was you mentioned the community events. There was a large expense to the fee that we were charged for Richard Wolf to come down for the event he did for KPFT from New York. And that event was the cost of him that is reflected in an added expense was offset by a donation from one of the sponsors of the event. The HD contract, as it develops, well, the conversations are being had by me with principals from the interested organizations, various different people, finance people, as well as executives at these organizations had conversations. As it progresses, of course, it has also been referred for advice to John Krigler, our legal counsel, who has worked with me before. We were doing a similar project with Rice University 7 or 8 years ago. And let's see, so that's me. And Markeisha, can you jump on some of the others there?
Okay, so I have audit items, and I've been in contact with the lead auditor as yesterday, and there are no outstanding items for KPFT that I know of. She said that KPFT was all clear. So I would need to see that list that you're referring to, Adriana, so that I could ask her what the discrepancy is.
Adriana, sorry, Marquis, let me just jump in. Sam sent out a detailed list of pending audit items today. I don't know if you caught it yet. but you can see them line by line for each unit. KPFT is not listed.
May I clarify?
Go ahead, Markeisha.
Okay. As far as I think you mentioned the $2,083 that should be being paid to KPFA, I believe, and it's not in cash flow. It's not in cash flow because we, in fact, have not been paying it, and just because of our current financial situation, it just hadn't been able to. What else did you say, Brianna? Those are the only four items: community events, contract, audit, cash flow.
Well, the cash flow tab have that missing, and have missing the two provisos that were approved with the KPFT FY 2016 budget, the PMB mandate, and it's $1,141 a month to catch up past due pension obligations, and $1,500 for catch-up payment in the intercompany payables that KPFT owes. That is exactly the provisos that were approved by the NFC and mandate by the PMB. And I remember that the NFC asked KPFT to solve it. But let me finish something else. I'm sorry about the audit, but I'm saying just what I heard from the auditors Monday in the meeting of the audit committee. I was asking about what measures are being taken for the shortfall, the difference between the shortfall in the revenue and the expenses reduction, that is $67,000.
I'm confused about the $1,141 catch-up payments for payroll, because KPFT doesn't owe any payroll payments that I know of. I guess my question is, where does that show up? Where should I see that?
It's Markeisha. There were 2 years where Pacifica did not bill the stations for pension deposits that are supposed to be made for every regular employee under the Pacifica retirement plan.
And
we asked all stations to budget catch-up payments so we could try to make right.
All right. I didn't know that, so I didn't have that included in the budget. So when was that? When should that have taken effect? In October?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you say, Adriana, the $60,000 difference between revenue and...
No, the second is the $1,500 catch-up payment for intercompany payables. That was passed last year, and I remember that we sent that to KPFT and to everybody. Dwayne, you should have it. I send it especially to you. But that's okay. I mean, we will send again the provisos that were approved again by the PMB last month. And the difference is $67,000, I said, between the shortfall in revenue and the expenses reduction, we are only 24. I mean, the difference is $67,000. I'm not asking specifically you, probably, Dwayne, what measures are being taken to compensate for that difference only in 6 months.
Well, we're trying to increase revenue. We're trying to negotiate opportunities to bring in new sources of income, such as the HD, such as formalized community partnership dollars that are also an unbudgeted revenue stream.
Okay, next on stack I have Michael. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for coming on the call. I had a few questions. Some of them are just kind of technical or corrections or something. On the if you have the documents with you, there's a fund drive summary, 2011 to 2016, and so there's an error in the 2015 and 2016 for the daily average. It's showing totals rather than the average for the total annual. Notice it's showing 52,009, which is really about 13,000 daily average for 2015, and it's showing 25,004 for 2016.
Okay.
But,
okay, I can copy that and resend it.
But, yeah, so my more serious question is the daily averages are down and the total income is down. One is a curiosity, and I'm wondering, in terms of best practices, on that same sheet you have the fulfillment rate, and it took a big jump that year. It's like your fulfillment rate all the previous years listed at 80, and then over the course of 2015 it got up into the 93%. I'm wondering if there's something you did in particular that improved that. I noticed that for the Quiet campaign, I assume that's like all credit cards or something, because it's 97.93% fulfillment. But I'm wondering if there's anything that you did then that you're not doing so much now, because it seems to have fallen off again, other than the Quiet Drive.
Well, I know one. Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let me just ask a few more things.
Okay.
A bigger question, like I say, in relation to the looking at the current year compared to the averages over like 2011 to 2014, it looks like it's about the same as you're halfway through the year and it's about half of your usual listener support. But the thing is that last year the listener support was up substantially from that average by about 50,000. And this year you've increased your goals, but you're not reaching them. I mean, that's the source of the discrepancy, is that you increased your anticipated fund drive pledge goals. So the question around that is this, has to do with the new transmitter and the also where the loan for that is. I know that basically you had to borrow money from KPFK, or however that got worked out finally, KPFA rather. So at the time, there was, an expectation that having the stronger transmitter, you would be, rebuilding audience and attracting more listeners and increasing your fundraising capacity. And I'm wondering if you feel that's happened, because it doesn't look like it's happened comparing this year to the previous years or the last year especially. So I'm wondering if there's any particular plan besides the income-raising plans you talked about. What are the audience-building plans that you have to try to increase the listenership and attract, new listeners with a stronger signal and so on?
Okay, I'll take a stab at that, Michael. In terms of the daily averages being a little bit down, I think that to me is a function of just the type of broadcasting that Pacifica does, and our market that we happen to exist in, and the wild variety of programming that we put out on the air day in and day out, and the way people use media versus the way we deliver media to them. I think it's reflective to me of the need for us to build the digital delivery platforms and our online presence and podcasting opportunities. Our shortcoming, I think, in Houston has always been, in my perception, not that we don't do some really great dynamic programming that changes people's lives, but that we don't have enough people knowing that we're doing it, and we don't have a budget for marketing. And so one of our hopes, and this is not in the short term, but this is more of a, this isn't going to affect anything this summer, in a big way, but I think restructuring our staff a little bit will allow our development director and will allow the station as a whole, hopefully working with board members as well, to get some effective grant fundraising, which has been, as I mentioned earlier, fairly slim, with our biggest grant having disappeared 3 years ago with losing that community service money from CPB, which is, you know, was about $180,000 a year to KPFT that's disappeared. In terms of any great initiatives programmatically, well, we're certainly looking at our schedule and making some changes with early morning drive time programming leading into Amy Goodman is basically been proven over the last couple of years to be relatively ineffective in terms of raising funds. We bring in, you know, yesterday's edition of Tom Hartman and yesterday's edition of Arnie Arneson, and they're both great programs in their own way, but taking a three-hour show and distilling it down and, you know, telling me tomorrow about what happened, you know, last night in Indiana, for example, is oftentimes not the most compelling thing to wake up to in the morning. So I think we're suffering a little bit from that. Our program director's looking at that and other changes we can make. Our afternoon weekday offerings across the schedule are relatively weak up until the Democracy Now! rebroadcast in the evening. The other place we can look at diminishing returns is in the effectiveness of Democracy Now! Itself, which is, you know, we've always called it our flagship program, even though technically it's not mm-hmm. ours. But if we look at the way that it's fundraised for us, and I know this is true for our colleagues across the network, with the proliferation of different mechanisms Amy's, you know, utilizing to deliver her program to television, to satellite, to the internet, and so on, you know, we're no longer the only source for her. And so we have, I think, a diminished return there. We talked on our national leadership call today about the possibility of building a new morning network offering that would be something that all five of the stations could use as a way of, A, tying us together a little bit better, and also giving us something we could share that would be a new effective product that we both shared and owned. I think that's partly what I can answer back to you. Markeisha, can you the averages or something?
So the averages, yes, that's a formula. I fix that, but I could speak to the part about why our percentages are probably higher in 2015. I would credit that to us having our membership assistant calling on people with the expired credit cards and people.
Good.
Sorry, if you are not Markeisha, can you please mute your phone? Go ahead, Markeisha.
Okay. I would attribute that to, like I say, our membership assistant calling on people whose cards have expired or whose anything that's causing us not to get the money for whatever reason with the credit card, or if people just not paying. She's actually calling on those people to figure out what the issue is, if there's an issue. So I would attribute the higher fulfillment rates for 2015 for that, and because I believe that's when she actually started, would have been in 2015.
Thank you. My other question was about how we're accounting for the repayment of the loan for the transmitter. Does that show up in the operating or somewhere else? Or
it doesn't show up, and it should. That's just since we hadn't been able to make the payments, it's not showing in the cash flow.
Okay.
It's a balance. This fiscal year, it's a balance sheet item, Michael. It would only show up under cash flows.
Okay.
And if the cash hasn't flowed, there's nothing in the financial statements.
Sure. I had one other question, actually, just for curiosity's sake. Do you have a functioning community advisory board at KPFT currently?
Yes.
Great.
Folks, we're at time on questions. I have one person left on stack. Does anyone mind if we indulge him before we move on to discussion?
Sorry.
Okay, I'm not
here. Hello?
Yes, Sarin?
I have a question, but I need to, I need to ask to extend, and I need to email it to folks. I'm having difficulty talking.
Okay. Email it out. Let me just ask if anyone objects to my going to RPAL on stack, and we can take up the extension after that. I'm not hearing any extension. Go ahead, RPAL.
Okay, I'll make this very fast. All right, so I'm seeing that listener support is off by 20%, and total revenue is off by 14%, and I'm just basically asking what you're going to do about that, because we're coming up to you'll have the May on-air fundraiser, and then you'll probably have one in the summer, but after May's money comes in, the summer one doesn't do much. Now, I look on your major initiatives tab, and I see some things in there, and it looks like you're, without saying any numbers, it looks like you're basing a lot on the HD channel lease. Without saying the number, how confident are you that you will achieve the number that you've put up there?
Well, I'm confident that we'll be able to achieve more than that. I didn't want to be overly optimistic. And so I put down what I consider to be a minimal number. And that to me is not hardly successful compared to what I think. And where I've started is a number that's actually orders of magnitude larger than that, and we're negotiating at this point.
All right, thank
you. Okay, I am checking my email for a question from Serene, who has a toothache. I'll just fire this off real quick because it's a short one. She says, please ask Duane about CPB funding lost around minority programming.
Okay. What I think that refers to is the CPB would give you a base grant and then would give you the possibility of getting three kind of bonus multipliers onto your base grant for community service. One was if you had a majority minority staff. One was if you had a majority minority board. And one was if you had a combined, using Arbitron numbers, minority audience of 30% or more. They've changed the rules of the game a couple of years ago and no longer do those bonus add-ons to the grants, effectively reducing most everybody's grant. So it's not that KPFT is not serving minority audiences and is being dinged for that, though I have heard that some people have said that, but that's not true. And that's not why the grant funding, were we still getting it, was targeted to be reducing it went from, when I started, about $80,000 a year. We worked it up to a little over $200,000, almost $210,000. It was being peeled back. The first year we lost it, it was $180,000 or $90,000. It was being reduced by a little bit each year. This year, we effectively have lost about $150,000.
All right.
Because of
thank you for that.
The audit. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Dwayne. On our time frame, we have now about 15 minutes for any discussion. And it's still fair to get on stack for questions if you have more questions during this period. I just wanted to make sure questions got prioritized over speeches. So does anyone want to go on stack?
Yeah, this is Sam.
Okay. Sam, who else?
Adriana.
Adriana, who else?
Serene. I'll email it.
Serene via email. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick comment. First, thank you very much, Duane and Makisha, for accepting this. I know that it's a bit of a challenge to make a presentation, but it is very important for the committee members to listen from the stations directly, and particularly in your case, because it's so good to see that although you had a budget kind of a shortfall of about 67,000, but you managed your finances very well. If we look at the 6-month financial statements, you are showing a loss of about only 4,000. So that kind of speaks quite well. I wish I could say this, say, for the other stations. They are not in such a good shape, I would say. The other thing is that, say, I had recently visited Houston, and it was very good to see the dedicated team. They had very good questions about, say, what is going on in general with the Pacifica Foundation and how they will be affected in their own home. They call it a home because they really live in a home and they work in a home. So that was kind of very inspiring and very very good to meet with them. The other thing is that, say, like Duane had mentioned, that we will be making some changes in the job responsibilities so that Makisha will have more time to kind of spend time for the development for the business activity, so that the development manager may have more time towards the business development aspects. That would be kind of an opportunity for raising additional revenue. So probably in the next 6 months, we may see some kind of a black ink on this statement. The other point quickly I would like to make is that, like, say, the kind of questions that Paul Martin raised about the 20% decline in the listener support. That's a very valid question, and I think that question should be asked across the board because this is the trend that, say, we have been seeing, say, across all stations, and collectively we have to decide, say, as a Pacifica National Finance Committee or at the Pacifica National Board, what do we do as a kind of a coordinated effort to bring the listener support up again. So one station alone would not be able to do much. It has to be a collective, I think, a collective decision that has to be made and collective effort that is required. But that was the very much kind of the objective of making these presentations, so that, say, we can have some hard data to support this analysis. So I would very much like to thank Duane and his team, and we just say would like to see some more presentations of this kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam. Adriana, you're next.
Yes. Basically, what I see that when I was saying before, the reduction in expenses looks like $24,000, but really it's $20,000 because only $4,000 suggest being paid only 50% of the satellite fee that in the budget was made altogether. Obviously, that will be divided. It means it's not any save there. It means that the reduction is less than 5%. What I believe is I really worry because we talk originally when we asked for that a specific loan for the transmitter. I think that all of us can go and listen to the to our previous meetings, but was very clear that that will make a big difference in revenue. what we are seeing now, that it's not only, it's not happening, that we see too, that even the cash flow, I don't know what is the problem with the communication, because the cash flow doesn't reflect specific obligations. I think that they asked Sam and management during, I don't know how long, to be sure that this was reflected in the cash flow chart. And I see that it's not. And we are talking about $23,000 for the next 5 months. This is to start with. And the difference is, I don't see a big difference in the salaries, because like I said, it's only $3,000 we have. We changed just one employee, and we have $3,000 reduction in salaries, but the personal cost basically doesn't make a big difference. The difference is obviously taxes. And when you talk about losing the specific MASS, I think that is the definition from the grant, this minority, I believe that I addressed that in 2014 to you, Duane, because we received the former executive director, interim executive director of the foundation, received that from CPB, and that was directed only to KPFT, and talk specifically about losing that specific denomination only because we don't have the percentage of minority audience that we had before. That is specific. If the committee wants it, I can send to, I remember giving that to you, Duane, because you told me that you didn't know about it, and I can send it to everybody again, is the communication from the CPB. And I'm still not seeing what are we doing really here, you know, to turn this around. Thank you.
Okay, I had Serene next on stack, but I've not yet seen an email from her. Does anyone else wish to go on stack?
Michael.
Michael, who else? Okay, go ahead, Michael.
I guess I want to follow up on my question from before. When we did authorize the loan, my recollection, I was on the Finance Committee at that time as the treasurer from KPFK, and I believe I put forward a proviso in approving the loan that the station come up with some kind of strategic plan for building or rebuilding your audience in relation to having the greater signal strength. And I guess I want to emphasize that. I think that, I mean, I hear what Sam is saying, that it's a problem across the network, but it's a problem at each station. And each station, as you know, has its own unique audience and its own unique, issues. So I think it's really vital that KPFT come up with a plan for extending its audience, building its audience, attracting. I mean, I appreciate what you said, and I agree wholeheartedly with the thing about finding new ways to deliver the content in terms of podcasting and so on. But I think it's also the content itself has to be examined for its attractiveness. And so I'm glad that you do have a CAB. My understanding of the purpose of the CAB is primarily that it does a needs assessment. And I know we've had CABs here on and off, and they never seem to actually accomplish that here in Los Angeles. I think that, can't remember if we had this conversation with you or not, but Houston is the fastest growing big city in the United States. It has the fastest growing youth population. Those are tremendous opportunities that KPFT has to seize and find ways to offer programming. Obviously, social media, if you have something attractive, social media will start to, provide that promotion that you need. If people are anybody's catching it, they will send it out to their friends in different ways. So I think that the question of what you offer on the air, to attract the diversity of the audience in Houston and its changing demographics along the lines of what Adriana was just saying, I think is really vital. I'll just leave it at that.
Can I feedback on that?
Sure, go ahead, Duane.
Okay, thank you. I agree with what you're saying there, Michael. KPFT has a stagnant strategic plan that that we invested a lot of time and people's energy over months and months into developing a strategic plan a couple of years ago that is still lacking full implementation. And part of it, quite honestly, is due to the internecine warfare that we, that circular firing squad, whatever you want to call it, that exists within and around Pacifica. That doesn't mean we shouldn't revitalize the strategic plan, and we have both PNB and LSB members who've expressed a desire to do that, and I certainly support that too, along with some of the initiatives from the CAB. But in terms of addressing the, we had the director of the Kinder Institute at Rice University for 35 years has been doing the Houston area survey. We had him on our morning show yesterday and spent an hour talking about the demographics of Houston, the changing nature of this environment here, and how Houston today represents what America well could look like a generation down the road in terms of diversity and the changing population. And partly to address that, because we've been bringing him into the station for visits regularly over the years, we've created alliances with the Houston Independent School District. We've created programs for the Student Congress to come onto the radio and do programming. We've invigorated that along with a collaboration we produced the entire month of April with a group called Writers in the Schools, and put kids on the air producing other kids' poems and sharing that as a way to bring new listenerships and kind of excite youth into this dinosaur technology of radio, which still has a level of appeal that I think is somewhat magical even. And another group of youth from something called the Trey, which is Third Ward, it's minority youth and high school kids who are very much into producing new programming and also helping to train other kids, including the Student Congress members, into doing radio. So we've incorporated a number of initiatives along with bringing in other minority groups who really aren't minority groups, because Houston is nothing but minorities. There is no majority here. But we've expanded our Spanish language programming on our HD channel, and we've opened the doors up in a lot of different ways. It's only been a little over a half a year since we upgraded our signal, and these things do take time. We weren't expecting any magical transformation in less than a year, but I think we're heading in a positive direction.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate if you could actually write some of that up maybe and share it, in terms of the whole best practices question. I think those are really interesting initiatives.
Okay. I've not seen an email from Serene, so that exhausts our stack. We've also reached our time limit on KPFT. Dwayne, Markeisha, I know there are immense demands on the time of every manager inside Pacifica, and certainly appreciate your taking an hour out of your schedules to spend with us. It's been a great presentation, and you're off the hook for the rest of the night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks.
We're on to the 10-minute item that Adriana requested regarding, I guess, election expenses in budgets. Adriana?
Well, Mr. Chair, could we make sure I have this exactly right? I have review of election expenses in all approved budgets. Now, that's...
The item title was informally changed to election expenses.
Just that?
Yeah.
Okay, just election expenses. All right, because we did... Yeah, it was a little bit...
It was
okay.
Messy.
Right,
thanks for checking in.
So election expenses is how it will appear in a minute.
Thank you. Adriana?
Yes, I'm trying... give me a minute. I'm trying to find the budget that I'm talking about, the one that we approve. I have it here, but I can see, for example, that the KPFA line 67, 6595 board election expenses are $12,000 in February and $12,000 in March. Do you know what that means?
You'll have to give me a minute to pull it up. I'm sorry. It's loading right now. And you're referring to the budget, right? Not the six-month income statement?
I'm referring to the budget.
Okay. Can you? What's the row number?
6565.
No, sorry, not the line item, the row number.
40, I believe.
40 is net income in my budget.
I'm looking.
Hold on, I think I can. For some reason, in my software, the line items are so small they're almost illegible. 65 what?
95.
6595.
I'm looking for. I have it before.
Oh, okay. It looks like row 67.
Let me. Yes, I'm sorry. Board election expenses. Yes.
So in KPFA's budget, rather, it's $42,000 total for the year, and you're asking about which month it's in.
No, that I see in October $12,000.
No, total for the year is $42,000.
I know, but I see $12,000 in October.
Uh huh.
I see $2,000 in November, December, January, and then $12,000 again in February, and $12,000 again in March. I don't know why I didn't see it before, but.
Well, I can only posit. I guess the motion that was in effect about election timing when KPFA was drafting its budget required us to immediately hold an election as soon as we completed the overdue election for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You'll remember that changed.
Yes, yes.
But that would have entailed spending the money on that time frame.
Mm.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't have KPFA's managers anywhere near to ask, but the amount seems right to me. Your concern is just about the timing?
No, not only the timing, the whole amount, because $42,000, you are talking about two elections, right? Well, it's the end of, yeah, it's two elections, basically.
Right. Well, I mean, in fiscal year 15, it was $27,000 for most of one election.
Okay. Okay, and then we have 12,000 in October.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's what I'm saying. You know, if it's 12,000, it was 27,000 in September. Let's see if I can see, because you put it the other way. I mean, it's difficult to see because it's difficult to compare with last year. Yeah, the total budget was 27,000. You said, yeah. For 1 year, right? In 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. We are 11,000 in was pay and 12,000, I think, that maybe went to October. But yeah, I mean, the amount doesn't sound, I don't know how that amount come out because I believe that it's $2,000 a month, right? And we are running the next. That was my, but obviously you don't have the answer for that.
I'm just looking at previous years, fiscal year 2013, which would have had most of the costs from the election in 2012 was $27,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's recorded as actuals. Fiscal year 15 is recorded as 27,000. And then fiscal year 2016 is budgeted as 42. So I'm assuming it's about 27 for the election and about 15 in carryover costs from the last one.
Okay, perfect. Makes sense. Thank you.
Was that it for your item?
Yeah, for that issue, yes.
I'll ask about it, but I think it's just budgeting that happened 8 months ago based on a different situation than the one we're in now.
I think that will change at the end if you spread it, because like you said, now we change it. If it's spread during the next months, will help in your cash flow too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, if that's it for Adriana's item, then I think we are done for the evening. Thank you for your time, everybody, and for a productive session. For those of you who are on the PNB, we will talk to each other tomorrow evening. We are now adjourned.